Amen, guys. We're going to be in Deuteronomy. Today is going to be a short, it's a communion.
Short parable.
Yes. Communion. But Deuteronomy chapter 20. One of my focuses for the month has been on compassion. And you know, compassion, it is shown in many different forms. And over in Deuteronomy, we're going to look and see how compassion can be shown through encouragement.
Amen. Amen.
When somebody is suffering and they are in need, or they are dealing with challenges in their life, the compassion that they need is a little encouragement that it's going to be all right.
Yes.
And I'm going to read over in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. And so, of course, you know, the Israelites, their journey was challenging always, not only with the surrounding countries and nations they were dealing with, but a lot of times with their own selves. You know how it is, you know, life is always happening.
Yes.
But a lot of times life is happening more with you because you get all these kind of thoughts and things get going in your mind, and then that mind get to work and that engine get to work, and sometimes you have to just tell yourself, okay, stop thinking. Stop thinking, it's okay. And so the Israelites, one of the things they always dealt with was something we know is fear. When a challenge arises, it's just scary. From fear, you feel like, I can't do it. Or I can't overcome this. Or I can't get over this hump. I just, you know. And sometimes fear comes in the form of, I don't want to face the challenge. I just don't want to face it. And so, of course, God being our great and almighty God, and of course, God always has a plan to encourage you guys. And so over in Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, he says, here's some instruction. He says, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them. Because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. You know, one of the things I love about this is that God is always up front. God says, so here's the situation that you're going to be going into. Just want to let you know, they're bigger from an earthly point of view or from a physical point of view. They're stronger from an earthly point of view. What your eyes are going to say, they got a lot more things, a lot more resources, a lot more army. God, how are we going to overcome that? But God said, but wait a minute, don't be afraid. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. Because we can see a situation and be like, I want nothing to do with that. I'm going to bail out on the team. And we can feel like that, but I love this encouragement. He said, look, don't be afraid just because of what you're seeing. Know that God is going to be with you. You know, encouragement lets us know that we are not alone. That's the number one thing we can give. When people are showing you compassion through encouragement, they're letting you know you're not alone.
That's right.
That you can overcome this. I think the sisters are doing a book called Overcoming. You can overcome this. You know, a lot of times when we tend to rely on ourselves or rely on people who are more discouraging, their help will vanish in times of trouble. Just will. If you rely on somebody who's not relying on God, their help will vanish in times of trouble. You know, but God's help always flourishes. God's help is always consistent and steadfast. God's help is consistent regardless of the odds. For us, when we're dealing with life and daily life and battles and challenges in life, we shouldn't let the odds make us rethink whether or not I should face this challenge. But instead, we should look to God for our strength. God does not abandon us when the going gets tough. And there are times when things get tough. It just, God, this is tough. It's like, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's like, it's just too much to bear. You feel like it's just too much to bear. And you're asking God, can we just check out now? Can we check out? But God always reminds us, oh, my grace is sufficient. You're okay. You're going to make it through this. God was encouraging the nation, but guess what? Don't worry about what you see. Just know that I am greater than what you see. You see, they solved the problem, believe it or not, 38 years ago and weren't ready for it. Most of us know the story. It's actually up in Numbers 13. most of us know the story when they sent out 12 spies for 12 of the tribes. Mm-hmm. Go survey the land and see what's out there, because God already told them, I'm going to give you the land, but go survey the land. They got it there, when they came back, not all of them gave what? A good report.
Right.
You don't understand. They're from the descendants of the Nephilim. You don't understand. Yeah, believe it or not, on their journey to do that, they happen to pick up some grapes, some pomegranates, some figs.
Yeah.
Land of milk and honey. But a lot of was no. Caleb was the only one that said, hush up, we can do this. But God knew 30 years ago, he says, you're not ready for that. Now, we look in hindsight and say, wait a minute. You mean you guys walked in the desert for 40 years? And you could have been out there 38 years ago? You know, that's something like. But for 30 years ago, they were ready. Now, here they are. God said, the problem didn't go nowhere. We still got to deal with it. But the only way you overcome a problem is by fearing God above your problem and trusting God above your problem. That's the challenge that we have to deal with there. But when we don't do that, we'll be like the Israelites. God, I guess I'm just going to keep avoiding this problem as if it's going to go somewhere.
Right.
But it won't. You eventually have to deal with it.
That's right.
You know, when receiving the facts from God and his will about life, don't downplay the facts. Be willing to receive the truth. The truth gives you a clear view of what's going on. You know, fear can cause you to fail at seeing how small a situation is compared to the greatness of God. When in doubt, God will remind you of the many successful things that he has brought you through. As we tend to forget a lot of those
That's
things.
Right.
After we've accomplished or we've had a victory in it, we throw it away. I don't know where we catalog it, but we throw it away. But God, you need to remember, God just reminds you, don't you remember when I brought you through this? When I brought you through this hard time? When I brought you through this health care, this health issue? Or you had this financial problem, that problem? You had this marriage problem, or you had this other problem? God said, don't you remember it was me who brought you through there?
Amen.
Remember
Amen.
You were praying to me, you were talking to me? Don't you remember that? See, God wants to listen. God said, I'm still the same God. I'm still here. And this new problem is not bigger than me, just like your old problems were never bigger than me.
Right.
And that's what we got to understand and realize. You know, you got to remember the fact, you are a success story standing here today in spite of yourself because of God. You always have to remember that.
Yep.
We can sabotage ourselves really bad.
Oh, yes.
Probably say, yeah, I shouldn't have did that long ago. But in spite of ourselves, and sometimes us want to just get it away, don't want to wait on God, guess what? God brings you through. And you are a success story, not because of your own strength, but because of God. You know, as a person who is seeking God and following God, you know, you have to address the fear so it doesn't paralyze you. Fear can paralyze you. I don't know if you ever experienced fear that paralyzes you, but it just does. You can't move. Some of us, when we're scared, sometimes we won't move. Sometimes something comes anywhere, you just freeze up. It's like everything stopped working. And some of us, oh no, I'm running. I'm in full flight. I'm fast. I done left my, I forgot you, baby. I love you, but I'm gone. Some of us are like that. But fear does that. It will paralyze you. But God wants you to know, I am greater than your fear. Have respect for me. Love me. You know, when I fear the Lord and trust him, I have nothing to fear at all.
Amen.
This is what he was trying to tell the nation of Israelites. He's like, look, don't be afraid. Oh, so what? They got a lot of nice toys. I'm bigger than all of them. In verse 2, he says, when you are about to go into battle, the priest should come forward and address the army. He should say, hear Israel, today you are going into battle against the enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic or be terrified by them. I love that. God is constantly encouraging you. He said, well, let me remind you again. When you go in war against these people, don't be afraid. Don't be faint-hearted. Know that I'm with you. We all are facing some type of challenges in our life today. Some of you are like, my life is good right now. I have no challenges. Matter of fact, I don't want to see no challenges good. But God's like, whatever challenges that you're going to face, and you face it with God, don't be faint-hearted. Don't be afraid. know we can get that way. Or some of them say you can get a little skittish. And I said, don't be faint-hearted, don't be afraid. I love the fact that God encourages him with this word is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I had a boot camp buddy who passed away. You know, a lot of times when we get illness, of course, you know, some people say you're private, and I know we're private in a lot of things, but some of these don't want people to know. And then sometimes we're like, I want all the prayers I can get. Sometimes we wait to get those prayers. We're like, hey, look, man, I only got about 1 second left to live. Can I get every prayer in the world, you know?
Yeah.
But we need to start early with getting people involved, you know, out of bigger situations. But I had a boot camp, but I didn't know he had this illness. And he almost felt like I knew the will. But during my late 40s, I got to a lot of boot camp, a lot of workout. And this one particular family was, they were amazing. They were like, God, I want that type of family. They were just amazing. But I didn't know why until this weekend. And their family, they write a lot. They write a lot of their family life story on Facebook, all the kids and all of them. And so their father, who recently passed away, and he passed away from stage 4 cancer in the liver and lung. Wow, I was shocked, like, what? You know, I know this guy, we work out, we do everything together. But I remember when working at boot camp, and if you ever go do boot camp, I advise you get in boot camp shape. I don't know if you can do that.
Right.
But I remember one of the things that he taught me how to breathe when jogging so that I could talk and jog at the same time.
Huh.
I was like, how do you do that? Because he was talking to me, come, let's go jogging, we're going to talk. And he's talking to jogging, I'm like, man, I'm just trying to find air right now. I'm just trying to find air. I don't have no conversation to get back to you. But I do remember that. But he taught me, he said, to learn to breathe in your nose and out to your mouth and slow your pace. It's a technique I use today when I get anxious or if I'm not feeling good. It's a technique I use to this very minute today. But he taught me that. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. But he has so much impact on other people's lives, especially his adult kids and his wife. They wrote lengthy encouragement letters about her husband and about their dad. And our parents like, this is powerful. But he was just the type of guy, but he lived his life like he was dying, and I didn't know he was. I didn't know he had cancer long ago by doing the boot camp days and went into remission, and then he came back with a vengeance. But the letter they wrote, his daughter said, you know what, Dad, thank you. Allow me to take care of you and clean you clean. She graduated from Mississippi State as a nurse, but she came home from her job to take care of her dad. She said, you have been amazing. I thank you for allowing me to take care of you in your last days of life. And it's just amazing, so encouraging. His wife is a writer. She's a professor at one of the colleges around here. She wrote a great letter. She said, you know, you were an amazing dad. She said, you were my first and my only. And she took pictures of them in high school prom, married for 35 years. I was like, wow. And just, but he was full of life. And they took pictures of them at the beach, restaurant, everything they did. And their family reflected that. And even in his passing, they're putting up pictures of the life that they did together as a family. I thought, man, most people, when you're grieving, you become solitary.
Right.
I don't want to let nobody in. I get closed off. This family? No. We're going to share the world of an amazing man that God shared with us. And I was blown away. This touched me to my heart. I thought, how compassionate of them to give to everybody else who they're friends with and let them know about this amazing man. And the stories were just encouraging. And I could see all the boot camp buddies on their life. We're just blown away. You know, we think of compassion sometimes as like, oh, it's just bad, but compassion sometimes reflects encouragement.
Yeah.
Here's a family grieving, but they wanted to encourage everybody who knew them. They weren't afraid. They didn't get locked in their fears. I'm like, oh, this is bad. I'm afraid what's the end. They kept saying, we'll see you when we get to heaven. That's one thing in all of their messages. We'll see you when we get home.
Amen.
I was like, this is just encouraging.
Yeah.
This is just encouraging. You know, God wants to encourage us the same way. You know, when you fear and trust God, he will send you godly people in your lives to help you fight your battle.
Amen. You know,
he just does that.
Amen.
He just does that. Whatever you are facing in life, if you face it with God, guess what? You should not be afraid, nor faint-headed, nor faint-hearted at the problem that you're facing, because God is bigger than that. That's what we got to remember. You know, God will always go with you, and God will always go before you to face any problem that you're going to go into. You will taste victory if you allow God to lead the way.
Right.
Not just God to help you,
right,
but God to lead the way. You know, God's compassion on Israel in this moment was shown through his encouragement for them by reminding them, don't be afraid. He reminded them over, don't be afraid. I got you. That's what we need to realize today.
That's right.
God says that to us today. Over and over and over. Whatever someone you listen to, whatever message you hear on podcasts, on TV, YouTube, a good word, a scripture you read, wherever you hear, God is constantly telling you, don't be afraid. I got you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're seeing, how in your mind you play that is just bigger than what you can handle, don't be afraid. I got you. That's what God's telling you. And finally, in the end, the last verse in closing before we pray for communion. Verse 4 says, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory.
Amen.
You got to remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
He goes with you against your enemies to fight for you so that you may have victory.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I'm going to pray for communion, guys. And then as we take communion.